I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Some of y'all know a little old school, huh? I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I feel it in my bones, you're about to move. I feel it in the wind, you're about to ride in. You said that you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters. So come. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the day. This is the day that you have made, and we rejoice, and we're glad in it. Lord, we invite your presence. We invite your truth. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, fill every empty heart. Come, Holy Spirit, come, comfort every afflicted heart. Come, Holy Spirit, come, strengthen every weary heart. Come, Holy Spirit, and empower us. Speak to us. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. What's up, y'all? How you doing? Good, good, good. Y'all see I got a new stroll? Yeah. An overzealous young person tackled me while playing basketball and so broke my ankle. So I hope you don't wear this. I'm not trying to bring this thing into style. So just, you know, in case you like, you know. But anyway, it's so good to be with my East Side family. I'm so grateful to be here. I do want to say, you know, last weekend during the Global Awakening Conference, we had a fantastic time, and I am so grateful for the many volunteers from Grace that were a part of that, too. I mean, I'm just overwhelmed by your support. I really appreciate y'all. And, you know, and God did what he did. He just showed up, and there were quite a few healings and just some really cool stuff happening that wowed us and surprised us, but were we really surprised that God could do it? Because he's done it before, and if you do it before, he can do it again. So we had a great time. I mean, my mother-in-law, her back and hip were healed, and some of the members of my church, knees were healed. One of the cool things is, so it was an empowering conference, and I had a young man, actually, that I met here at Grace, and he's doing ministry at Indiana University with Chi Alpha, and he was a part of the conference, and he kind of took the conference with him. And it was really a training ground so that you can administer healing to receive an impartation and actually do the stuff. How many know that God wants you to do the stuff? Sometimes we want to hear the stuff, but God wants you to do the stuff. Anyway, let me get off that soapbox. But anyhow, I received a text from him yesterday, and he's like, hey, I'm about to meet with a young lady who's full of pain. I don't have my phone. I could actually read to you what she actually has. And I'm about to pray for her at 5 o'clock. Would you guys pray with me? And about 5:30, I get a text back from him. Said, man, she's completely healed. No pain. Absolutely nothing. He went out and actually did the stuff. Yes. Amen. Y'all know my baby girl, Zoe. Zoe was at school the first 2 days of the conference. And in one of the sessions, they were talking about a word of knowledge. And sometimes doing a word of knowledge is kind of what God would download to you. Maybe it's information, but one of the ways that God downloads is he'll give you pain that you don't normally have. And so she's like, okay, well, that means that God, so she was in a room. And she's like, man, I've got this back pain. I don't have a back pain. Well, her roommate came in, and her roommate was like, you know, I've got a back pain. And Zoe's like, well, I think God wants to heal it. Because she had just learned that that could be a type of word of knowledge. And she prayed for a friend, and God healed it. It's doing the stuff. Anyway, so thank you so much, family, for letting for allowing us to be a part of what God's doing here and bringing that team here. So anyway, let's get into the word. As I begin to think about today's message, I was reading through Daniel chapter 10 and verse 19, and this kind of became my prayer for us today. Daniel chapter 10, it's not up there, but it says, and he said, this is the angel Gabriel speaking to Daniel, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, this is the angel Gabriel speaking to Daniel, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And my hope is Daniel has encountered the angel Gabriel. This messenger angel tells Daniel, you are greatly loved. Now, I'm just here to tell you that church, Grace Community Church, you are greatly loved. Amen. You're greatly loved. He says, don't be afraid. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And as Gabriel spoke to Daniel, Daniel was strengthened. And my prayer is that as we spend time together and have a little conversation, that you will be strengthened, that you will be of good courage. That you, like the old mother said, that you would learn how to keep on keeping on. Amen. That literally, that God would strengthen you, that you would be empowered while we preach. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Well, our text this morning is Luke chapter 5, verse 5. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. Well, if I have a title for the message title would be, Do It Again. Do it again. Do it again. And really, I need to define what I mean by that, because it, when you hear the title, Do It Again, some of you might instantly think about the song, I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. Yeah. Right? That's, you're like, yes! And I'm like, yes! Or maybe you're thinking about Spurgeon, who said, what God has done is prophecy of what he will do. Like, if you look through the annals of history of time and you watch God heal the sick and Jesus, you know, feed the multitudes, well, that's prophecy of what God can and will do. And so maybe you're like, yes, he's going to do it again. And I believe with all that's within me that God wants to do it again. But my that's not the do it again that I want to bring to you this morning. My question to you is, will you do it again? Will you hope again? Will you believe again? Will you trust again? Will you pray again? Will you call out to God again? Will you follow him again? Will you ask him again? Will you knock again? Will you seek again? Will you do it again? See, I believe that there are many of us today who, like Peter, have labored and toiled, hoping and believing for a return, and have received nothing. You've put in the hours, you've put in the work, you've prayed, you've confessed, you've read your word, you've even declared God's word, and now you've been wearied by no results, or little results, and it seems like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling and coming right back down to you. Peter is explaining to Jesus that We didn't get one. Not one thing turned out the way that we expected, and we put the work in. And look, all the evening's work was done in vanity. Has any of this worked out in my favor? I don't know if you've ever had that moment that you've been wearied by the disappointment of expecting one thing and not getting anything. This is what's going on with Pete. Well, we go by first name basis. He calls me Shu, I'll call him Pete. No, I'm just kidding. Peter is this expert fisherman. And he literally says to the Lord, when you parse out the Greek, he can literally be saying, we have engaged in work all night long. We are wearied and have lost heart that we would receive not one thing. And, you know, I'm thinking Jesus has something to say. And I'm thinking like this might be what I would say to the Lord. I don't know if you would say this to the Lord because you're good Christians. But sometimes I'm like, well, Lord, you know scriptures. I know fishing. Or, Lord, you know prophecies. I know lakes. I mean, he's an expert fisherman. Lord, you know proverbs. I know boating. I got this. Anybody ever? Yet Peter doesn't go there. Peter, he simply says, Master. I'm tired and I've worked really hard, but nevertheless, the King James says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down my nets. Nevertheless, I will do it again. I'll do it again, Lord. If you say to do it, I'll do it again. And as I observe this, one of my observations is this miracle took place as Peter gave Jesus what I call inconvenient access. You know what I mean by that? I mean, like, we love to give Jesus convenient access. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. We like to give Jesus scheduled access, you know, comfortable access, access that doesn't interfere with our calendars, checkbooks, cash apps, or debit cards. We like to give him that kind of access. You know, I mean, we have our scheduled times with God, Sundays. If God, if you want to do something or speak to me, do it from the time of 11 to about 12:10 on a Sunday morning. Yeah. Or our D group time or C group time or Bible study, TBS or BSF. And God, if you know, anybody ever tell God your office hours? My office hours are from 9 to 5, Jesus. If you want to encourage me, touch me, speak to me, challenge me, love on me, these are my office hours. But as we read the story, Peter was on some other stuff. On one occasion, verse 1 says, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. The fishermen had gone out of them and they were washing their nets. Well, what does it mean that the fishermen, including Peter, had gone out of the boat and began washing the nets? What does that mean? I'm done. I'm finished. I'm tired. I've worked hard. We're going to put our tools away because we're done. And Jesus looks at them done, and the next verse says, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him, put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. They were finished, but here comes Jesus, not at the most convenient time, but a pretty inconvenient time. And it looks to me that this wasn't going to be a quick lesson. I mean, I'm thinking Peter and James and John were probably looking at their Apple Watches or smartphones thinking, Jesus, you got about 10 minutes, and they just set the timer. But the Bible says that Jesus sat down and taught. we're going to be here for a while. Can you imagine having a day of work? I mean, you worked all night long. You're tired. You're weary. And not only are you tired and weary, you're also disappointed. Because you worked all these hours and you got nothing, nada, zilch. And here come this Jesus in your boat while you're tired and disappointed and sits down to talk. And I don't know if you know this, but Jesus has been known to have some lengthy sermons. I mean, at one point, literally, the people have been with him 2 or 3 days. That Jesus is like, listen, don't send them away to go get some food because I don't want them to faint on the way. You feed them. But they had been with him for 3 days. Okay. Let me mosey on back over here. You just told me to take a seat. All right. These new disciples gave Jesus inconvenient access. You know, the more we want from God, the miracles we need from God don't usually come packaged in the neat, convenient way we want it. This miracle cost Peter time and rest. In fact, Peter wasn't expecting a miracle. He was just letting Jesus use his boat for an impromptu sermon. Do you realize that what you have, God wants to use for an impromptu sermon? Your life, your house, your cars, your stuff, your business, your skills, your talents, your words, your hugs, your smiles. Jesus wants to use for an impromptu sermon. You know, sometimes the distance between a catch and nothing is inconvenient access. When you weren't expecting him to show up. You know, a distance. There's a sometimes the you're like, where's the gap between me receiving from God and me not receiving from God? Sometimes it's just inconvenient access. But not only is it sometimes inconvenient access, sometimes the distance between a catch and nothing is going a little bit further than you did the last time. Verse 4, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Jesus finishes his sermon and he says to Peter, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. You know, some of you are here because you need a catch. You need more of God. You're looking for more. You're after a healing for your marriage or healing for your children, those prodigal sons and daughters. You need a catch for your business or in your finance. You need a catch in your education. You need a catch in your area of ministry. You are wearied and simply need to catch your breath. Well, there is one who is still breathing on his people. There's one who is still commanding seas to part and walls to come down and demons to come out and death to be silent and commanding dead to be raised. There's one who is still on the throne and he's working for your good, trying to bring you a catch. He is a miracle worker, waymaker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. He's the faithful one, the faithful and true witness. And yet he is working. He is speaking to fish that at one moment would not fill a net in the very next moment to come and get in a net. And I believe that he's also speaking to people who are not in your network to get into your network. He holds hearts of kings in his hands and he turns it to whichever he wills. He's working. The challenge is, will you do it again? Will you keep seeking? Will you keep knocking? Will you keep asking? Will you keep praying? Will you keep going after God? He is a good father that knows how to give good gifts to his children. Don't lose hope. Pray again. Ask again. Seek again. Knock again. Follow him again. See, sometimes the distance between a catch and nothing is being willing to forget what already happened. You know what I mean? I mean, it already happened. I already prayed. Nothing happened. I mean, y'all, come on. I'm at a healing conference and I break my ankle. I don't know how many people stopped to pray for me. And it's still broken. But I'm going to ask again. I'm going to knock again. I'm going to seek again. Why don't you pray again? Sometimes you got to forget that what didn't work. Peter had to forget that what the work he just did that didn't work. Are you willing to forget what already happened or didn't happen? Verse 5, and Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. Nothing. But Peter said, but at your word. Peter believed in the power of the word of Jesus. Peter knew that he was not a man that he would lie or the son of man that he would change his mind. He does not speak without action or promise without fulfilling. So he said, Lord, I'll just do it again. I'm also reminded in the Old Testament, it's Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 to 19. And John was all in my business earlier talking about, come on, John, why are you in my message? But Isaiah 43, verse 16 says, thus says the Lord who makes a way in the sea and a path in mighty waters. Who brings forth chariot and horse and army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Then he says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Now, sometimes you'll read that and you'll think that he's talking about some of the bad things that happened. But he's talking about Israel as they were in captivity with Egypt. And he's telling the story of literally of them going through the Red Sea on dry land as the waters rise. And as they go through the other side, the waters come encompass their enemies and they die. And God says to Israel, he says, listen, don't even remember that. You know, sometimes that we can be so cognitive or reminiscent of what God did before that it becomes a limitation of what God can do. Yes. Like, it's the reality that God has the ability to outdo himself. Yes. So maybe God did a miracle before for you. Well, don't think that the miracle he did in the past disqualifies you from the miracle he wants to do in the future. Pray again, ask again, believe again, hope again, follow again. God is able to outdo himself. See, we only need to let what God has done become prophecy of what God will do. Amen. Sometimes the distance between a catch and nothing is inconvenient access. Sometimes it's going a little further. Sometimes it's being willing to forget what already happened or didn't happen. And sometimes the distance between a catch and nothing is simple obedience. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to argue with God. I don't know if y'all ever argue with God. I remember one day, I tell you, like when I go jogging, God likes to interrupt my jog to talk to people. I've told you, I've shared you guys one of those stories. Well, here's another story. I'm on my jog and I'm running. And I'm, you know, I can't really do it, you know, in this little boot. I'm like, boot, get off so I can go back running. Anyway, so I'm running and I see this dude and he's in this cubby hole of a door by Lou's Deli on McNichols on the west side. And I'm jogging past him. And the Holy Spirit says, go pray for him. I'm like, God, he looks all right. He's on his phone. He's busy. Why are you, Lord? And I couldn't shake it. Like, ah. So I'm moseying on back like, hey man, I think God wants me to pray for you. He's like late 40s, early 50s, and he starts weeping. Just starts bawling. And here I'm thinking, he's all right. He looks good. And he begins to tell me something's going on in his life. And I just got a chance to sit there and pray with him and love on him and show the love of Jesus. Like, we got to stop arguing with God. Because there are people that need to know he loves them. Verse 6 says, and when they had done this, and when they had done what? When they pushed out a little further and went to the deep. When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Are you getting this?
Yes.
They had so much, received so much that their systems could not contain God's goodness. He poured out a blessing so much as they would have just simply walked in obedience that they called their partners and said, hey man, we got so much, we need help. And they filled both boats, but both boats could not contain the blessing of God. Are you willing to do it again? Pray again, ask again, believe again, hope again, follow again. Peter, verse 8 says, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Some of you are suffering sin. Listen, you have this unworthy thing that you've got that you can't receive what God's trying to bring to you. You've got this worm theology that you've created, that I'm not worthy of God's blessing. Jesus, depart from me. Well, he ain't departing from you, baby. He loves you too much to depart from you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He says, you have so much value to me that my father took the only scarcity in heaven, which is the only unique son, and he put him on a cross for you to say, listen, I love you. And not only do I love you, you are so valuable to me that I will purchase you with the blood of my son. It pleased him to bruise him. You have value to God. Some of you right now, you don't have value to yourself, but you have value to God. I'm reminded of a story by a guy named Todd White. And Todd was on drugs and was just tripping and just an angry man, and he got radically saved, and he's having a conversation with a preacher one day, and Todd wanted to take his life, and the preacher said to him, it's clear that you don't want your life. Let me, why don't you give it to somebody who does? Listen, God wants your life. You're valuable to him. If you're breathing, there is hope for tomorrow. I know you may have suffered some disappointments and you need a catch. You say, Lord, here I am. And he's gonna do something with you. He's gonna help you out. But I love this story, verse 9. And for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. He changed their mission. He said, I'm going to give you a new mission. But verse 11, and when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. They discovered who the real catch was. That they left their boats. James and John left their daddy. They left their resources and their authority and said, we found one. But not only did they leave their resources and their boat and their occupation and their dad, they actually also left the catch. Like some of us are chasing the promise, which we should be chasing the promiser. Because if you get the promiser, you get the promise. If you get the healer, you get the healing. Hallelujah. Are you willing to leave everything, including the catch? Because you see, Jesus is everything you need. I believe like David, if I can follow Jesus, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. As I'm following him, goodness and mercy are following me. They're chasing me down as I follow the one who is merciful and the one who is good. Goodness and mercy are following me. Will you do it again? Will you believe again? Will you hope again? Will you ask again? Will you pray again? Will you seek again? Will you knock again? Will you go after him again? Lastly, no, I'm not going to go there yet. Let me say this. Jesus getting in your boat is him extending grace to you. And grace can get you what grit cannot. Grit can get you some things. You need to work hard. You need to be diligent. You need to exercise some tenacity. But there are moments that toiling, laboring, and striving will just leave you tired, weary, and losing heart. It's in these moments we deepen our trust in the one who only needs to speak a word. Lord, speak a word. You see us, Lord, speak a word. Lord, encourage your sons and daughters. Speak a word. I speak strength to you now in the name of Jesus. But lastly, sometimes the distance between a catch and nothing is time. It's just time. 3 years later, a similar story arises. It's John chapter 21, starting at verse number 4. It's not on the screen, but just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the other side, on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." I'm like, the boat can't be that big. They've got their nets over here. Over there? Yeah. Just a few feet. And they find a catch. Why? Because God knows how to speak to fish on the left side of the boat that aren't on the left side, right? Well, he knows how to speak to fish that you don't see and says, "Listen, get to the right side of the boat. Get to the right side of the boat." And all Peter and them have to do is simply obey. And they take their nets to the other side of the boat. And the scripture says, so they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped of work, and threw himself into the sea. Now, wait a minute. Isn't this the same Peter that said, Lord, depart from me? He's like, I can't leave you. You've been so merciful and gracious to me. I've denied you 3 times, Jesus. I've got to make my way to you because you didn't hold my sin against me. You didn't hold my denial against me. So I'm going to get after the one who's been after me. I'm going to try to catch the one who's caught me. I'm willing to do it again. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, but about 100 yards off. And when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place and fish laid on it and bread. You see this? Jesus wasn't asking them to get fish because he needed fish. He didn't tell them to throw the net on the side, because he wanted fish. He wanted them to have fish. He wanted them to get a catch. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus wants you to get a catch. He wants your marriages restored. He wants the prodigal sons and daughters back home. He wants empty hearts full. He wants the broken relationships restored. He wants to rekindle the fires. He wants to ignite you. He wants to set you on blaze. Not so much because he needs it, but because you need it. He wants you to hope again. He wants to restore your joy. He wants you to believe again. He wants to restore your faith. He wants you to wait again. In expectation that he'll meet your need. He is way make, miracle work, promise keep, light, my God. Hey. Way make, promise keep, my God. One last time, won't you stand your feet? Way make, miracle work, my God. Do you believe it? Sing it out. He's a way maker. Way make, hope restorer, joy filler, my God. Lord, your sons and daughters, many need a way made. So Lord, I thank you that you step in, that you would go before your sons and daughters, that you would raise up valleys and you would bring mountains down, and Lord, you would make crooked places straight, that you would give courage that you would evict fear that you would embolden Embolden your people, Lord. Embolden us, Father. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen, while the team were praying for you this morning, they got a word that someone has some slicing wounds on both arms, close to the shoulder area, and they just want to pray with you, and that there's a someone that's got blisters on their left chest that they want to pray for you as well. But if you need hope and you're weary, come. Our team would love to pray with you. We believe that God will strengthen you. God bless you. Have a super Sunday.